this is Jo Tomalin, and I'm at the Edinburgh Fringe talking with a writer. Please introduce yourself.
Hello, my name is Matthew Roberts.
And you do more than write. You're doing a one-person show here right now. And you've normally done comedic pieces or written and performed comedic pieces, but this year you've chosen a very serious subject. Could you tell me a little about it and what drew you to putting a show together about it?
Thank you. So I wrote this particular play last year as a four-hander, and I met with Stu and Leslie, who's a dramaturg and a director, founding movement director of the RSC, and, you know, 15 years with Katie Mitchell. And so we had a scone at the Barbican, and I said, would you have a look at this piece? And do you think it's got legs as a one-man show? And he said, yes. And the idea originally came 4 years ago. There was a friend, he was working as a bouncer, and he was a photographer as well, and he said, Matthew, I'd die for my kids. And those words coming out of his mouth, in the way his physicality, the way he looks as a gay man, was quite extraordinary. So him and his partner had two surrogate children. And from that moment, Canoe popped into my head. And that journey of stories and legacy and loss, you know, what we give our life to. And I had to be really brave about how this, and it fermented for the past couple of years, and it came into fruition. So getting someone like Struan on board, because I knew I couldn't do this alone. The aesthetic of the show is like a stand-up comedy. It's like, it's bare boards and a passion. You know, it's me and the audience. The preset lighting is the show. But it's imagination. And the space becomes the place we say it is. And we meet Tom and David. David is the world's renowned gay children's author. And Tom is ex-services in the US. And they had been together for 20 years. And that journey, they had an adopted child at 10, from like a secure unit. And they wanted to create a family and a family of their own. And then that child is gay, but then he did say, Dad, we did try it a couple of times and I've ended up with a baby myself. So there's that intergenerational gay family. And it was almost Greek in the way, tonight is the night where they bury their little girl and boy. Now, through the Trumpity-Trump tweets and Theresa May and the legal side, the background of that, that couple have been ripped to shreds by social media. You know, it's their funfair and it's our funeral. And the sensitivity of death. I love Angels in America. It's a passionate. The fact that you can put Judaism and Mormonism on stage. When I was looking back into the Bible of my youth, those stories, the Bibles of my imagination, The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe, Alice in Wonderland, Mary Poppins, they started to work through the piece as a one-man show. You know, the use of Charles Kingsley, the water babies, Hi Cockalorum from the cartoon version. But when I looked back at Charles Kingsley and what he was historically, that was extraordinary. And with Struan's help as a dramaturg, we were able to interweave these things in.
What is the reaction of people that have seen the show?
Grown men are crying. People are breaking down. They are very moved. They almost want to give us a hug at the end, and it's like, it's okay. And just the journey, the responsibility of that, we're sharing for the audience. And it through grief. And there's a way, in terms of destruction, there's a line in it which sums it up. You know, we meet in the garden. This is the garden where the roots of imagination grow deep. This is the place where ideas of faith will have to leap over doubts, over darkness, over desires to destroy. Using that kind of incantation, I met with Father Simon from St. Anne's in Soho to say, what do you read at a children's funeral? And he said to me, you know, I've done one too many and that's enough. But the use of the biblical language from St. Mark and from Isaiah and from Revelation 7:17, I've authenticated it with honesty and trust. And the idea of death and the idea of this self-destructive nature of chemsex, of PrEP, of sexually transmitted disease, there is a line in it which is very brutal about, you know, Peter Pan needs to hang his shadow up today. That dark shadow of gay relationships. It's not particularly advertised as an LGBT show, but what it does do is put fatherhood, men, the beauty and love of family centre stage.
And I understand that you have done this or are planning to do this with some workshops or leading some exploratory activities or events after the show. Could you just briefly tell us about that?
Yeah, it's going to go to Runcorn at the Brinley Theatre on the 29th of September. And that's at 7:30. But from 1 o'clock until 4 o'clock, a friend who is a bereavement counsellor said, you know, we could sit down with people, because he's worked with couples who have lost children. And they said the way you do it, you could release a lot for them. To open that dialogue, open that discussion. And the whole thing is, it's love and it's light, because those children are still alive in the imagination. They've entered another doorway through Narnia or down a rabbit hole or transported through a cyclone to the land of Oz. They are alive in the stories we tell. Every time we tell that story, they become alive to us. And they're not ghosts. I mean, what are ghosts but memories? But it's the beauty of their life that is to be celebrated.
Okay, well, we've just about come to the end of the time here. Do you have any last-minute things you'd like to tell us about the creation of the show or the development?
This show wouldn't have existed without the expertise of Strew and Leslie. And for that, I am deeply grateful. And for the Albany Theatre and Goldsmiths space to rehearse in, and also Centre 17, Max and Roof, who've championed me with this project since last year.
Okay, well, thank you very much for talking to us, and best of luck with the run.
Thank you.